It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening, 5 to 6:30 p.m. Central Time, and that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com. That's drmarakarpel. And the link to the podcast will be posted later tonight or early tomorrow morning with all of the information from this evening's program. And you can hear the podcast as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information from this show and updates about upcoming shows and to listen to previous shows, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, or go to blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears, and be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. Want to contact me? Send me an email to Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. Go through my website or give me a call. It's 512-6973. This evening's program was produced by Complus Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can email him at rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com, and his book is also available on Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by the Bra Lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. This show is also sponsored by Storyhouse. Storyhouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have Storyhouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. Storyhouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. And today is Sunday, April 3rd, and I am broadcasting live from Westchester, New York. And this evening, Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of this show, is doing the production engineering for the show back in Austin, Texas. And he'll be answering your calls if you call later with any questions for me or my guests. So when you call, be sure to say hi to Art. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers, and for the past few years have been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And most recently, my office has been in a really wonderful Veterans Resource Center called Heroes Night Out in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this great resource for veterans and for their families, go to heroesnightout.org. All right, so even though I am out of town and I'm out of the studio and on the road, we still have a packed show this evening. So let me let you know what the lineup is. First, Yogi Steve Kane will join us from right here on the East Coast in Westchester to talk about how yoga can help you to find happiness and move towards your life's purpose at any age. And then later in the show, Zena Badasha of the world-famous Badasha Twins will call in from the West Coast in Los Angeles to talk about belly dancing and Bollywood and how both of those are great for your health at any age. And she'll be talking about her upcoming trip to New Orleans and the Bollywood course that she'll be giving. And Laura Gelizunas reports in from the retirement paradise south of the border, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And I will be talking about self-love. Last week I talked about caregivers and when you're having a bad day as a caregiver, and part of that is taking care of yourself and having a feeling that you're worth taking care of. So this evening I'm going to talk a little bit about cultivating that feeling of self-love. And throughout this evening's show, I will have time to take your questions. And if you have questions for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. So be sure to do that while the guests are still with me so they can answer your question on this evening's program. And my email address, once again, is Dr. Mara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at DrMaraKarpel.com. That's DrMaraKar. And my Twitter address is MaraEK. So we're going to take a quick break. And after the break, I will be joined by yoga teacher, yogi Steve Kane, who will be talking about happiness. And we have lots this evening, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpel.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaracarpel.com. And now joining us on the phone from right here on the East Coast in Westchester, New York, I have yoga instructor Steve Kane to talk about happiness and yoga and how to find your life's purpose at any age. And again, if you have questions or comments, please feel free to give a call, 855-345-4720, or email your questions to me, Dr. Mara at drmaracarpel.com, or tweet your questions to me at M-A-R-A-E-K. So welcome, Steve. Are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Mara. Thanks for having me on the program.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And just a reminder, there's a slight delay when we talk to each other like this.
Okay.
So Steve, tell our listeners, we had a chance to talk, you know, and meet in person and get to know each other a little bit, and I appreciate that. And I'd really like our listeners to hear a little bit about your background.
All right, you got it. Well, for starters, I'm a 200-hour certified yoga instructor. I've been teaching for about 4 years and practicing for about 14. And I teach at a yoga studio called Yoga Shivaya in Tarrytown, New York. I also have a creative background. I originally studied illustration and then painting, and I kind of got lucky. I got into 3D animation at the infancy of that industry, and I've been running an independent creative agency that does, these days we do a lot of medical education and web technology. So I've kind of rode the technology wave and used my creative skills, and I've been fortunate to be able to do some really interesting work and also do good in the world at the same time. I'm proud of all of that. And I'm also a father of two wonderful kids. I have a 17-year-old daughter and a 20-year-old son. So with all that going on, I need all the inner peace I can get.
Right. So I, you know, we mentioned that you're doing a workshop on the art of happiness, and you talk a lot about how yoga can help us find happiness. So can you talk a little bit about this workshop and what yoga has to do with happiness?
Yeah, I realized that, you know, I used to do karate. I used to play tennis. I currently play golf. There's other ways of getting exercise. And I realized that all the time that I was practicing yoga, the thing I was really coming back for wasn't really the exercise. It was really that feeling of inner peace. You know, there's a real feeling of bliss at the end of a yoga class. So when it came time for me to teach, I increasingly became interested in, you know, that being kind of a theme in the class. But, you know, a lot of yoga class is taken up by what's called the asana practice, the physical practice. So at a certain point, I created this workshop that kind of takes a deeper dive into, you know, how do you specifically use these practices of movement and mindfulness and meditation in order to cultivate happiness in the here and now. And so I have this Art of Happiness workshop.
Okay. All right. So, you know, most people think of yoga as that kind of exercise. I mean, it's become a really trendy thing to get exercise by doing yoga. And, you know, most people think of it as just a set of movements or poses, but sounds like you're saying that that's not all there is to yoga. And
well,
you know,
yeah,
and
there's
I know
a lot. Yeah, there's a lot more to yoga. Look, the asana practice is really important, but the primary purpose of it, if you're looking at it from, you know, the standpoint of, you know, how yoga was created, was to kind of work the kinks out of the body so that you could quiet your mind and you could sit in meditation. So it's really a warm-up to learning how to quiet your mind. You know, it's not a practice in and of itself. And, you know, aside from that, there are entire branches of yoga that don't involve physical practice at all. You know, so, you know, there are aspects of yoga that are all about, you know, devotion or gratitude, you know, that don't necessarily involve a physical practice. One of the best things anyone ever said to me about yoga is it's actually one of the few things in life where less is more. It's actually good to be a C student in yoga. Because
okay.
you're trying to find that mind, body, breath equilibrium. And if you're working too hard, you're going to get a great workout. But for most of us, it's hard to maintain that. You know, there are people that can do that. But for the average person, you know, dial it back a little bit and see, you're trying to find that comfortable point of balancing your movement, your breath, and your body.
So what about people who can't even do those yoga poses, like downward dog, or, you know, those ones that we know of, and, you know, because they're older and they just can't.
Yeah, there's yoga for everybody. I mean, you can do, you know, I actually have a restorative practice that I teach that barely requires any movement at all. You can have chair yoga practices. There's all kinds of ways of getting around that. And again, if you're looking at the goal to be present at this moment in time, then you don't really need to move that much. You know, the amount of movement is really a personal choice.
Mhm. Mhm. So the actual poses aren't really what yoga is about. There's something underlying it, a deeper.
Well, yeah. I think there are means towards an end, right? And, you know. There's an argument for having perfect alignment in a given pose because you're gonna, you know, your energy channels are gonna be more open, you know. But I would say that. You know, that's a philosophy, and the kind of the meta philosophy is really one of connecting your body to your breath and quieting your mind and being present, which doesn't necessarily require that much. So getting on to the happiness point, I've seen research that after your basic needs for food and shelter are met, additional money doesn't necessarily add happiness. And in some areas of the U.S., this is supposed to be as low as $35,000 a year. And so, you know, it really got me thinking, you know, this is obviously contrary to what our culture teaches us. So
right. Everybody feels like they'll be happy as soon as they're able to afford that big house or the big car.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, nothing wrong with those things necessarily, but not necessarily the source of lasting happiness. I mean, a big house and a big car cost a lot of money to maintain, and maybe you're going to be working that much harder to maintain all of that. So, you know, as I explored this, I started to realize that for most of us, happiness is a choice. You know, we all have life challenges, but once your basic needs for, you know, food and shelter are met, it's your happiness has a lot more to do with the way you react to life. You know, it's your thinking about life stimulus is going to have a more impact on your happiness than a lot of things that we believe are what are cultivating our well-being. So, you know, Viktor Frankl had the insight that freedom is the space between a stimulus and your response. And so from, you know, a yoga standpoint, we sometimes look at it as the length of a breath, you know, so if you can take one long, slow breath before you react to something, it really changes the nature of that reaction.
Right. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So, you know, I've also read, I actually don't have the name of the book at the top of my head, but there was a book that was talking about your lizard brain response, which is very quick reacting because it's really about a fight or flight response, and your mammalian brain response, which is slower and more empathetic. And so just by, again, slowing down your response to life stimulus, you know, it actually changes, you know, chemically the way you react to what's going on.
So, like, if you're on the highway and somebody cuts you off, rather than responding immediately, which might not be the best response.
Exactly.
Taking a few breaths to actually think about how you're going to respond.
Is that what you're
talking about?
Yeah, exactly. So if someone cuts you off on the highway, and I mean, this used to be one of my things, and, you know, it took some reflection, but the first reaction is just to take a long, slow breath. So, you know, you're safe, nothing bad happened, there is a momentary threat, you know, maybe you feel like the guy's being a jerk. But then when you slow down the reaction so that, you know, don't let your blood boil over that, you know, the next thing you can do is you can start to take a deeper reflection on the situation. And one of the ways that I was able to kind of make that less of an issue for myself is I thought, you know, that person made my life unsafe for a moment, but they're going through their entire day like that.
Mm-hmm.
So by shifting to that kind of mammalian compassion, you know, I was no longer dealing with it like, you know, the fight or flight response of the lizard. I was more, you know, I was feeling like, okay, you know, I had a momentary, you know, possible fender bender with this person, but, you know, they're, you know, driving around like that the whole day. So, you know, bless them and see them safely on their way.
Right, right. So it's kind of like a way of not taking it personally also, once you know that you're safe. It wasn't
exactly.
It wasn't about me that he was cutting off. He's cutting everybody off.
Right, you're not exactly. You're not taking it personally. Right. It's not about you. I mean, that's part of it. And then just shifting your focus to a wider view, I think, helps. But the fact is, you know, we're in an overstimulated world, and these things are happening all the time. And if you're not aware of them, you know, your blood pressure is going up, and the effects are cumulative. So, you know, you by the end of the day, you've kind of worked up a good head of stress without even being aware of it necessarily. And there was actually, on a similar topic, there was an article in the New York Times recently about how complaining rewires your brain for unhappiness. So basically what happens is your brain builds a more efficient channel to, more efficient network to channel the unhappy feeling. So, for instance, if we're going to continue with this getting caught up on the highway thing, so, you know, if you allow that to bother you, and then every time it happens, it bothers you a little bit more, your brain's like, okay, well, this is something that bothers me. Let's you know, throw some synapses at this problem and just make this a more efficient channel. Right. So now you've,
right.
Now you've created like a thing, you know, where this is
so
your thing.
So you've like hardwired
right?
your brain.
Exactly.
To feel threatened and angry.
Right. Every time that somebody cuts you off. Right.
Right.
And so now you just, you know, you can change your mood. I mean, I used to change my mood sometimes for the rest of the day or, you know, for a couple of hours even. When one of these events happened. So, you know, there's I'll paraphrase a Cherokee parable, which tells of two wolves inside of you, one good, one evil, and they're battling for your soul. And so the question is, which wolf wins? And the answer is the wolf that you feed.
Right. So the more negative thoughts that you continue to have, the more you're feeding that wolf.
Exactly. So that's where the choice comes in. So that, you know, as you become more present, then you can start to look at these instances. And when something really bothers you, you can say, well, okay, can I think about this a different way? Can I broaden my view? Am I even really thinking about this the right way? Or does this have something to do with something that happened to me in the past where this seems like it's a similar situation, but it's not exactly similar? And you can start to untie those Gordian knots of knee-jerk reaction to life stimulus.
So Steve, you know, there's been research that shows that these types of events, like over the course of the day, those daily hassles, getting cut off and getting upset, or, you know, just stubbing your toe and letting it get you upset, or taking things personally throughout the day, that at the end of the day, this is more stressful even than a major life event. The accumulation of stresses.
Well, yeah, so that's one of the other awarenesses of this whole thing. So it's basically what's happening is it's your parasympathetic nervous system. So it's your body's fight or flight response. And your body literally responds in a chemical reaction, throwing in testosterone or whatever it believes is needed in these situations when it feels threatened because it's that thinks you're going to have to either fight or flee. And these chemicals build up in your body, and they take often 24 hours to release. So you really build up a head of stress. And the parasympathetic nervous system is the thing that I believe yoga can help cultivate, is the opposite response. It's this sense of, you know, I'm safe, I'm calm, I'm relaxed, I'm present, and that helps flush those negative chemicals out, and it helps build this sense of, you know, just being content in this moment, just the way it is.
So how does yoga do that? How do these movements of yoga or, you know, the philosophy of yoga help us to decrease that stress and reach that state of relaxation?
Well, part of it is just mechanical. As you move your body, you know, you're twisting your muscles and your organs, and you're working the kinks out, and you're opening up blood flow, and you're actually, beneficial chemicals are spilling out of your organs into the system. So you're just kind of wringing the system out like you would, a sponge to rid of it, toxicity. But then the mental part of it is, it's a little bit more subtle. It's really about learning to be present in the here and now. The mind's job is to constantly be on the alert. So it's looking into the past for information that might be relevant to this present moment, or rehashing something that it feels like it needs to be rehashed again, or looking into the future. Mm-hmm. To, anticipate certain situations. The mind is very rarely in the here and now unless you tether it to something. And the thing that you can do is you can tether it to your breath, and you can tether it to the sensations of your body. And the practice is called pratyahara, withdrawal of the senses. And by, taking your mind's energy from the outside world and pulling it into the inside world, that's where you start to cultivate the sense of inner peace.
So what about those people who say, the naysayers, who say,
yep.
Well, I can't get my mind to stop going. No matter what I do, I can try to meditate and it keeps going. And if I do yoga, I know I'm going to keep thinking about stuff.
Well, you can't stop your mind, right? So that's the very first lesson of meditation. And the very first time I tried to do an hour-long meditation, I was up at a yoga retreat. And I had done, maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes before, but I'd never tried to do a full hour. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to have to meditate for a full hour. So what I got to do is I got to just ratchet the faucet of my mind as closed as possible. So I just tried to will myself to shut off all thoughts. And within seconds, it starts to leak,
right.
And you feel the pressure building up. And then it's just a rush of thoughts come out. And I actually, I basically gave up. I mean, it was, frustrating moment. But then I went and I talked to another yogi and explained what happened. And they said, oh, yeah, no, that's not the way you do it at all. You can't just shut your mind off. But what you can learn to do is you can start to disassociate yourself from your thoughts. So, again, by tethering your mind, your thoughts to what your body feels like, or what your breath feels like, or anything else, frankly, you can look at a candle. There's a bunch of different ways of doing it. Then when thoughts come in, what you can do is you look at them kind of from a distance, and you try not to engage. So you allow them to happen. They're going to happen. But it's a practice of disengaging. And over time, the reason why they call it a practice is you can't, I guess people master it, but it's something that every time you sit on your cushion and you try to meditate, there's the challenge that your thoughts are going to start drifting in again, and you're going to have to be patient with the process and rope yourself back.
Right. So you're kind of just watching your thoughts, not really judging them. Right.
Right. And what that does is it starts to build this sense of what's called the witness consciousness. It's the awareness beyond your thoughts. So what you start to see is the sensations of your body are in one category, the sensations of your breath are over here, and then your thoughts and your emotions are over there. And then behind all of it, there's the thing that's aware of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically this, safe place. And ultimately what that does is it provides shelter within the storm rather than having to run for shelter from the storm. You can start to, have big life events happen, and you can feel safe and secure just witnessing your thoughts. I mean, your thoughts are really spinning, but you realize that it's just spinning thoughts. They no longer own you in the way that they do when you haven't developed that practice.
Mm-hmm. So how does that lead to happiness or finding our purpose?
Well, I mean, one of the first lessons of that is as you listen to your thoughts, you realize that if you talk to your friends the way you talk to yourself, they wouldn't be your friends. because a lot of your thoughts can be quite negative. You know, I busted a taillight pulling my car out of a parking space after teaching yoga, ironically. And, you know, my first thought was, you idiot, right? So I'm like, well, I'm not really an idiot, you know. It was really just a momentary lapse of awareness of where the, you know, where the obstacle was. And why am I talking to myself like that? And, you know, so you can start to, and, you know, I actually play golf, and I see that happen on the golf course a lot. Some, you know, the way some golfers talk to themselves is, you know, completely wacko, the words that come out of their mouths, you know. You know, if golf can be frustrating, I get it. But, you know, be kind to yourself, right? And then the next step after that is, you, like I said earlier, you can start to undo the Gordian knot. So as you, you know, have negative thoughts or anxious thoughts you know, depressed thoughts, you can start to trace them back to their root. You know, I think that that's where a lot of the real work is done. You know, I'll have sometimes I'm thinking about something that I'm working on, and I'll remember something that had gone badly many years ago in my business. And I'm, you know, my first reaction is frustration. It's like, why am I thinking about that again? Mm-hmm. And then I realize, well, you know what? I'm trying to, there's something about this new situation that's similar to that. So, you know, my mind is trying to remind me that there was a valuable nugget of knowledge that was associated with this event that I should be applying to this situation. Or, you know, things that happened in your childhood or in your marriage or whatever. So it, you can start to clear the channel so that if you are having, you know, streams of anxious or negative thoughts, now they're above the waterline, you can see them. And then in seeing them, mm-hmm. you can start to analyze them and say, okay, you know, this is no longer serving me anymore. I don't need to, you know, I don't need to call myself an idiot every time, you know, I spill a glass of milk or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess it's really, you know, and I talk a lot about how changing your thoughts affect, you know, can help you feel better, can change how you feel. And I guess you really can't change your thoughts unless you witness them.
So that's exactly
kind of
right.
You a chance. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and then the author, Haruki Murakami, says that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. Suffering is the story that we tell ourselves about our pain. And we can lessen our suffering by loosening our grip on the story. So,
right.
you know, this is in yoga it's called discriminating discernment. This process of looking at your thoughts and which thoughts are serving me. And actually challenging people and challenging events can be our best teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're challenging for a reason. There's something in our consciousness or in our psyche that is being threatened by that thing. So it really gives you a useful source of reflection.
So Steve, you know, time runs away from us, and there's so much to talk about. I'd love to have you come back on another time, maybe to continue this discussion, because I think it's really important. But before we run out of time, maybe you can talk about where people can find out more about you and your yoga classes and your Art of Happiness program and anything else that you're doing.
Sure. So, like I said, I teach at Yoga Shavaya, which is in Tarrytown, yogashavaya.com. My Art of Happiness workshop is, you know, something that I schedule with groups. I've done it at Yoga Shavaya, but I don't currently have it on the schedule. But if there's demand, I can either do it there or elsewhere. You know, if people down in Austin want me to come down, I could probably mm-hmm. pull that off. And then, do I just say my email, or are they going to reach out to you in terms of email? Or?
You can say your email, and then later tonight I'm going to repost it on my web post about this show if people didn't get their pen and paper. But if anybody is ready to write it down right now.
All right, so it's real simple. Yeah. It's Kane Steve, KaneSteve, at me.com. And, you know, obviously I'm passionate about this subject, so if there's anything I can do to help clarify anything that we spoke about, or anybody has any questions about yoga or mindfulness or meditation or any of it, more than happy to try to help.
Great. So again, you know, if anybody didn't get to their pen and paper on time, they can just check out my website, the web post about this show later tonight or early tomorrow morning, and it'll be there, and they can just click on the link for Yoga Shavaya and also find your email address.
So can I say one last thing about just
sure.
kind of a summary? Yeah, so
sure,
the prescription basically is move your body, work the kinks out. You learn how to quiet your mind by turning your attention inwards. And then in quieting your mind, you realize that you are not your mind, and you get in touch with that deeper, more authentic sense of self. And ultimately, I mean, this is long-term, it really leads you towards Dharma, because you start to, again, feel safe and comfortable in this moment in time, less you react less neurotically to things. And, you know, for me, it's an incredibly powerful practice. It's changed my
mm-hmm.
life, and I'm happy to try to help other people try it out for themselves.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on this evening's show, and good luck with this workshop. It sounds like, it's something you really are passionate about, and I hope that people will contact you and invite you to do the workshop in their area.
Well, thanks, Mary. Thanks for having me on, and thanks, everybody,
yeah.
for listening. It was a pleasure.
And I'd love to talk to you again sometime in the future.
Yeah, so let's schedule another event. That'd be great.
Okay, great. Well, you have a good evening.
All right, good night.
All right, thanks. Good night. All right, everybody, stick around, and we have much more after the break, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient, and with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential body wear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpell in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaricarpell.com. And so before I start to talk about how to increase self-love, which I think is a really good topic to talk about after our last guest discussion about yoga and happiness, because I think it really fits, some of the things that I'll say will really fit in with what he was talking about. But first, let me just talk about news, update you about what's going on with this program and about some of the other things that I'm doing. So first of all, we have been videotaping the interviews that have been live in the studio in Austin, Texas, since the beginning of the year. So whatever guests have come in person in Austin, we've had a chance to videotape the interview. And we are getting ready to create a Roku station, and we'll let you know when you can actually watch those videos. But meanwhile, we also had videotaped several teasers, 3-minute interviews before the show when people came into the studio in the fall. And two of those are already uploaded to my YouTube page, Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Carpell. And you could just Google me, Dr. Mara Carpel, and you'll find those. And also, they will be uploaded to my website, so you'll be able to see those by tonight or tomorrow morning. You'll be able to see those. Also, my Huffington Post blogs, as you may know, I've been a guest blogger in Huffington Post for almost a year, been posting a blog once a month. In the month of March, I posted two blogs because it was a two-part series for Women's History Month about finding power and our voice as women, especially women in middle age and older years. And part one was why this is an issue, and part two was how to do it, how to find your voice and your power. So you can find both of those parts to the series on my website, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years, and go to publications and click on that, you'll find it. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years, or go straight to Huffington Post and just Google my name, and you'll find all of my blogs right there. And I think that's it for the news right now. But keep your eyes and ears open for more information on Roku station and for the YouTubes. Take a look at those YouTubes. So now I do want to talk about increasing self-love right now. And I think this really goes along really well with my previous guest discussion about yoga and happiness. And it also is a continuation of the discussions that I had about women, especially last week's discussion about caregivers and what to do when you're having a bad day as a caregiver, because many caregivers are women. I would say that proportionally there are more women, there are male caregivers. I don't want to discount that at all, but proportionally there happen to be more female caregivers than males. And caregivers in general tend to put themselves last and their needs last. And what happens is caregivers tend to get sick. Very often they get so sick that they can no longer care for the person that they're caring for, and they become depressed and they become anxious, and they have little concept of this idea of self-love because their focus has been so much on taking care of the other person. And it's really important to start to take care of ourselves. And in relationships, you know, we always hear the platitude, before you love others, you must love yourself first. And when it comes down to it, the idea of loving ourselves is a foreign concept to most of us. Many of us go through life receiving negative messages from our peers, our parents, possibly, teachers, partners, even the media tends to tell us that we're not whole people, we're not worthy unless we buy their product or use their treatment for making ourselves look better or look younger. And when we accept these messages, we become focused on our own imperfections, which, you know, all humans are imperfect. That's just the reality of life, and it doesn't mean that we're faulted. That's the nature of being human. But we become focused on these imperfections, and rather than seeing ourselves as who we really are, which is perfect, so to speak, in our imperfection. So, what can we do about that? You know, we're already 30, 40, 50, 60, and we feel like, well, that's just how we've turned out. How do we change it? Is it possible to change it? And it really is. You can be 90 and you can start to increase your feeling of self-love. And so one way to do that is to treat yourself, even if you don't believe it yet. Psychologists call this faking it until you make it. Treat yourself like you're worthy right now. So that includes taking care of your body by eating a healthy diet, for example, getting enough exercise, getting enough sleep, doing things like yoga for the body. But as we know, there is more to yoga than just the body part of it. But that helps with increasing flexibility and decreasing physical pain when we do yoga and exercises in general. So taking care of our bodies is one way of showing ourselves that we're worthy right now. And then beginning to take action toward following our dreams. So what are our passions? What are our dreams? What can I do today? Even if I'm really busy, even if I'm taking care of somebody else, what one step can I do to move toward my dream? And that is treating ourselves like we are worthy of following our dreams. One way of doing that, one step, is even taking one step back and taking a step towards figuring out what our dream is, finding what our passion is. And maybe that includes what Steve Kane just spoke about, which is doing meditation or quieting our mind and using yoga in its complete form, not just the body movements, but actually quieting our mind so we can step. And when we do that, when we have the space between thoughts, when we take time to slow down our thinking, then that's where inspiration is found. That's where we find out what really moves us and inspires us. It's in those moments when we're not really trying to figure things out and thinking about the past or the future. We're just being in the present moment. So then another tip for finding and increasing self-love right now is doing things throughout the day that you know. And again, this is part of treating yourself like you're worthy right now, but it's another step toward doing that, and that is to do things throughout the day that you know cheer you up or inspire you. And they can be as simple as listening to music that you enjoy, reading something that you find inspiring or something that you really love to read, even taking a nap if you enjoy taking naps, walking in nature, doing some form of exercise because you find it enjoyable. Breathing slowly and relaxing can be very enjoyable, as Steve just told us. That's a one step towards happiness. That's where we find peace. So doing things like that throughout the day helps to lead us toward a feeling of self-love. And one of the guests who was previously on my show is an author, a best-selling author and a speaker. And he was on my show a couple of years ago, Michael Neal. And one of the recommendations that he has made is to create a list of enjoyable activities and make it a point to do 5 of them every day. So make a list of 10 things that you like to do, even if they're really small things like sitting in a coffee house and drinking cappuccino or, you know, going for a walk, just like I said, or listening to some form of music. So make a list of 10 things that you enjoy doing and check them off and make a point of doing 5 of them every day. And then the next thing that helps to lead us toward self-love is to surround ourselves with positive people who love themselves, not in a narcissistic way, but in a way that they really truly care for themselves and feel that they're worthy of being cared for, and who treat us with love and respect. Because the difference between somebody who's narcissistic and somebody who truly loves themselves in a deep way is that a narcissistic person does not care about anybody else. and they don't really truly love themselves. They constantly have to prove that they're lovable. While somebody who really truly loves themselves doesn't have to prove that they're lovable, and they know by knowing that they themselves are worthy and lovable, they realize that as humans, we are all lovable, and so they treat everybody around them with respect and love. They're not threatened by people. So those are the people that you want to hang around with. First of all, because human beings learn best by observation. So if we observe people who model this form of self-love and respecting the people around them, then we will learn from them to do the same thing. And the other thing is that when people treat us, when we're around people who treat us with love and respect, it's a very loving and respectful thing for us to do for ourselves, to be around people who treat us that way. So making it a point to reduce or eliminate the amount of toxins that we ingest with food and the amount of toxins we take from other people by being around toxic people, by decreasing that, then we become more positive, and it's a form of self-love. And then, speaking of toxic people, we need to turn off the negative, derogatory, toxic self-talk. And Steve just talked about that, how we talk to ourselves in ways that we would never talk to other people. So we need to stop talking to ourselves that way too, because that does not lead to self-love at all. So that voice in our head, again, that negative self-talk might be the voices of people we've heard in our lives who have questioned our worthiness, or it might be our own voice telling us that we're victims, and none of that is beneficial towards feeling self-love and feeling happiness. And Beverly Flaxington, who was a guest on my show previously, pointed out that it's our own minds that defeat us. We say things to ourselves and we tear ourselves down. And that self-talk, that negative, toxic, derogatory self-talk leads to feeling absolutely drained, and leads us to have lack in self-confidence and to have low self-esteem. And in order to feel truly like you love yourself, it's important to become aware of this negative chatter. So looking at our own thoughts, and again, as we just spoke about with the previous guest, observing our thoughts so that we can actually step back from them and notice how irrational they are. And to, even if we can't turn those thoughts off completely, knowing that that chatter is not the truth, that it's not just because we have the thought doesn't make it real, that just because we think, oh, what an idiot I am, doesn't mean that we really are idiots, and that thought will lose power over us, or at least the volume will soften. And then stop listening to the negativity of others. Don Miguel Ruiz in the Four Agreements said that one of the Four Agreements is to not take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do, he wrote, is a projection of their own reality. And when you're immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. So remember that a person's tendency to put another person down is caused by their own lack of self-love. And if you can realize that, then you can have compassion for them, but not take it personally. And then that leads to forgiving others. So if people do speak negatively about you, you want to forgive them. You don't want to listen to them. You want to separate yourself from a person who puts you down, but you want to forgive them and say, you know, that's their own stuff that's coming out, and that's because they don't feel good about themselves. And then we need to forgive ourselves. We put ourselves down so much for things that we don't even have control of. Or if we knew better, we would have done better. So we need to forgive ourselves. And forgiving ourselves and forgiving others doesn't mean that we're saying that it's acceptable for others to treat us badly, or it's acceptable for us to keep going around treating other people badly. And it doesn't mean that you should spend time with someone who continues to treat you badly. Forgiveness is for us. It's about letting go of the pain and liberating ourselves from that heaviness, that deep heaviness and darkness of holding a grudge. And we need to forgive ourselves for the choices we've made in order to love ourselves and simply make the decision to try to do better. And number seven, you might notice that you're very good at finding things about yourself that you don't like. So another way of cultivating self-love is to sit down and make a list of those qualities about yourself that you actually like. And you might only be able to find one thing about yourself today, but do it every day. So, and really spend time in quiet doing this and start to expand it every day. Add more things that you know that you can like about yourself. And then I always say this, treat yourself like you would your own best friend. Stop being so hard on yourself. Would you be hard on your best friend about the same things that you're so hard on yourself about? And one practice that I've spoken about before is actually sitting in a chair opposite another chair and make believe that in that other chair is yourself, and that is your best friend forever, your BFF. How would you respond to your BFF if they told you some of the things that that mistakes that they've made? Would you put them down the same way that you put yourself down? So try to treat yourself in that same way. And have a sense of humor about your own mistakes. If humor is so powerful. So if we can laugh at ourselves, then we can gain a perspective, a more realistic perspective that we're only human and we make mistakes, and then try to learn from it rather than putting yourself down. So, you know, once we learn to love ourselves and treat ourselves with respect and that we're worthy, then we stop feeling like there's a hole inside of us that we need to fill up with food and drugs and unhealthy relationships and other sorts of addictive behaviors. And it frees us to be able to feel happier and more fulfilled and to have more joyful, loving relationships. And if we're caregivers, it frees us to be better caregivers and to be more available because we no longer have that heaviness. So on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And after the break, Laura Galazunas is joining us from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, where the retirees are having a good time and practicing self-love, I hope. So let's take a break. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Flying so high now, shows a man where to fish. Watch me send it, he lies in his hammock, teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. Yeah.
hear the thunder high in that mountain. Watch the clouds rolling in. Senorita, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss. And they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour behind. But the senoritas, they keep us in time. That poppy CT just blows through my mind. It takes me back to my place. Punta Mita time.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpel.com.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now Laura Galizunas is on the phone joining us from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Welcome, Laura.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm okay. What time is it over there in Puerto Vallarta? I'm so
It is now 6 o'clock.
Oh, it is. Well, you're on.
Okay.
So you're on Central Time now, huh?
Yeah, even though we're on the West Coast. Nobody can
right.
explain that to me yet, but.
So you changed your clock?
Yes.
Okay. I know it's always.
I just wish we were on daylight savings time year round.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So how are things down in Vallarta? What's going on these days?
Well, things are slowing down a little after, you know, Easter. Things
mm-hmm.
settled down a bit, but there's still plenty of things to do, so.
Are there still a lot of retirees down there?
There's still a good number, yes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot leave for Easter. Don't know why, but. So, yeah, there's still a good number. They estimate the number somewhere around 30,000 retirees that live here year-round.
Okay. Okay. So right now it's the year-round people who are left.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there's some other people who leave, you know, before it gets too hot.
Mm-hmm.
But the weather's
mm-hmm.
been so weird the last few years that I really can't say when summer starts or not, because it's not what it used to be.
What's it like there now?
Oh, it's perfect. Now it's around 80 degrees.
Oh,
a
nice.
Little humid. Not overbearably
mm-hmm.
humid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like it is in August or September, but.
Very nice. Yeah, right now I'm in New York and it's about 36 degrees, so 80 degrees sounds great.
80 degrees. Oh, goodness. That's chilly.
Yeah, it's chilly. So, what sort of activities are going on right now? I know you always have. Charity events going on, right? In the
there's always
the
charity events.
Mm-hmm.
They slow down a little bit this time of year, but not too bad. The Altruism Festival, that's not until May, though, so that's coming
what
up
is
in
the,
a little while.
What's the Altruism Festival?
It's usually held, it's been held at the Marriott for years, and restaurants from all over the bay come and set up little booths and samples, and you pay one price and you get to sample food, and then all the money gets to benefit anywhere from 8 to 10 different charities in the bay. So
okay.
they split the money.
Very
so
nice.
That's kind of a fun event, but that's not for a
mm-hmm.
little while. There are still some, what am I trying to say? Still, we have live entertainment here, so there are a couple theaters that still have acts going through the high season, which is really kind of nice. So there's
uh-huh.
just singers, comedians, different things like that. So you can check that out. There was an Oyster Festival today in Bucerías.
A what sort of festival?
Oyster.
Oysters?
Yes. So, yeah,
nice.
They harvest oysters in Bucerías. So,
okay.
So they're having, you know, just like a little food festival up there. So that was
uh-huh.
today. Okay. So that. Different things.
Mm-hmm.
There's always there's some sailing events that run. They have little sailing races on weekends, and that gets up to the fact that they have the Mexican Sailing Federation. So
right.
They have their you know, like cup. And they expect, I don't know, it runs over 4 months, so you can, you know, check out different sailors, you can enter, that kind of thing. So every weekend there are different regattas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you can check those out and watch the sailors zipping around in the bay, so that's kind of fun.
Right. Okay.
There's always something going on.
Okay, all the restaurants are still open. Nobody closes down because it's not high season, right?
Right. A lot of things have wrapped up. You can still go on the art walk on Wednesdays. That runs until the 25th of May.
Uh-huh.
And there's a little map online. And then the galleries. The galleries then have, you know, like wine or little appetizers or something, and then the artists are usually there that the galleries are featuring, so you can meet the artists. So there's about 10 galleries on that, and it's a self-guided tour, but you can get a map.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, the farmer's market on Saturdays runs until the end of this month. And you can get, I don't know why they call it a farmer's market exactly, because it's really, there's like maybe one or two stands that sell actual produce.
Right.
So I would call it like a craft market or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You can buy a couple of the vendors that make their own bread there are very popular, so you can get that. Other people sell, like, you know, things like jam and salsas, and there's this sprout lady and different things like that. I would call it more of a crafty thing, though.
So, Laura, so this time of year, if people want to come for vacation, is this like a good time of year to come because maybe things are a little bit less expensive?
Oh, yeah, I just wrote a blog about that, actually.
Oh, you did, huh?
Yeah, now's a good time, you know, planning for the summer because in high season, you know, everything is more expensive. The rents are more expensive if you're renting a condo or a home. And in the summer, prices tend to go down a bit, but it's still a great time of year to visit. So you can get
mm-hmm.
airlines, or, you know, the air flights are less expensive. So planning a summer vacation is perfect. And it's not any hotter here than it is anywhere in pretty much the southern half, at least, of the United States. So.
Mm-hmm. Because you're right on the water, so at least you get the ocean breeze.
Get the ocean breeze. So,
mm-hmm.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Now's the time to be planning for that.
Are there still places for people to rent for next high season? Are they still available?
Yes. Some people, you know, not everybody plans ahead, so there are definitely places to rent for next season if you're interested in that. And that
mm-hmm.
can be done. A lot of that stuff can be done online, which is rather convenient.
Right. Or people can come down now when it's cheaper and have a little vacation then look for something for next season, right?
Right, they can scout around. Now is an easier time because a lot of things people don't realize is that, you know, they want to look at condos that are rented, you know. They want to look for condos to rent for next season, but they're not necessarily going to get to see the inside of the condo because people are renting it. And not a lot of people want a bunch of strangers marching through their vacation.
Yeah, that's a good point.
People are like, well, why can't we go see the condo? I'm like, it's rented.
Well, right.
Yeah, so it's kind of a double-edged sword, so.
Mm-hmm.
But that
mm-hmm.
part's very interesting.
Right. And, okay. So it kind of stays lower price until maybe October, November?
November,
okay.
Yeah, high season starts later than it used to for some reason.
Hmm.
Used to start in mid-October. Now it's kind of mid-November.
Hmm.
Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. I wonder what accounts for those trends.
We don't know. When I first moved here, like I said, high season started in October. People started coming back in October. And then over the last 13 years that I've been here, it seems later and later and later. And now some people don't even come down until after Christmas.
Right, right.
And that would be interesting to know why. A lot of people leave before Easter because they don't like Semana Santa. You know, there's thousands, tens of thousands of nationals that come here for vacation, and the town's pretty much a traffic jam now. And
right,
if you live
right.
here like me, you know, you just learn to get everything done before noon and then go back at home and hibernate.
Right.
So,
well,
you know, and I wouldn't
similar.
Go to the beach and all that kind of thing. I mean, it would be like spring break or something anywhere.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That'd be similar to like South Padre Island, where we have a lot of winter Texans, they call them, the winter visitors, who they leave before spring break because it just gets too crazy on the island, you know, with all the spring breakers. And that's just not comfortable for retirees to drive around in that craziness, right? So I guess that's pretty
right.
similar.
Mm-hmm. It's similar, but people used to, like, go home, you know, go wherever they were, you know, and then come back and then stay till, like, May or June. And now we're
right.
not seeing that. And I don't know why that is. I think that would be, I don't know how you would research that, but
yeah, that would
not
be
exactly good for businesses here.
Right, right. But on the positive side, it's good for people who want to have a low-cost vacation this time of year.
Oh, definitely. And
yeah,
you get a lot
I mean,
of families that come down as well with the kids, you know, once the kids are out of school.
Right, right. So if people are looking for a place to live for next year, I know that you can help them. So how could they contact you?
I can certainly do that. It's Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at ronmorgan.net.
Okay. And how can people find out what's going on in Vallarta?
They can go to banderasnews.com, BanderasNews.com, or they can check out my YouTube channel by going to TVPuertoVallarta.com, and that'll give you a link to my YouTube channel. And I've got over 200 videos. And I just reached 500 subscribers last week, so I'm excited.
Wow, congratulations. that's great. Are you still doing the other YouTube videos, the kitchen ones with
the recipes and real estate? Kind of laid off on that for a few months. It's been a little crazy here during high season, so.
Right, right.
We hopefully will be doing those again soon.
But they're still up online, right?
Yes, you can always catch them online. Mm-hmm.
So where can
that
they
and I have a show called Vallarta Life.
Okay, and where can people find those? Are they the same place?
It's on TVPuertoVallarta.com.
Okay, so recipes and real estate and Vallarta Life.
Yes, all there.
All there, so people can find out all kinds of things about Puerto Vallarta.
Yes, they can.
Okay.
Kind of fun
all
stuff
right.
there.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Laura, thank you so much again for coming on the show this evening.
No problem. We'll like to see some more retirees.
Yeah. I hope there'll be some more coming from this show. That would be great.
Oh, for sure.
And will you be available in 2 weeks to come back on the show?
I certainly can.
All right, great. So then we'll speak to you then.
Okay, have a great evening.
All right, you too. Enjoy the beautiful weather.
Okay.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. Eat someplace fun tonight.
I'll try. All right. Good night. All right, everyone, stick around. After the break, Zina Badasha of the world-famous Badasha Belly Twins will call in from the West Coast in Los Angeles to talk about belly dancing and Bollywood. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back. We'll be right back.
visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpell.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And we were just listening to some belly dancing music because now Veena Badasha of the world famous Badasha Twins joins us from the West Coast, Los Angeles, to talk about belly dancing and Bollywood dancing. And Veena has been on the show before when we were broadcasting live from Los Angeles. So welcome back, Veena.
Ah, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for coming on to the show. I just want to let you know that when we talk like this, there's a slight delay.
That's okay. I'm kind of used to it.
Okay.
I've done shows. Yeah.
So, Veena, how have you been? What have you been up to? Maybe we could talk a little bit about your background first and then let us know what you've been up to.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. There's so much to talk about. I mean, well, background in terms of dance, I have an identical twin, so yeah, as you know. So she and I are both performers, but also dance coaches, and we're very, very much into dance fitness. So we had this idea many years ago about taking belly dancing to the market, to United States market in terms of having it to be a very great way to work out your body and a very fun way and a very safe way. So we wanted to do that with that as well as Bollywood, but many years ago, Bollywood wasn't, I don't think United States was or America was really ready for Bollywood at the time, but in any case, belly dancing hit very well. And so our DVDs hit the market nicely, and they still sell. Whether they sell at several, at some retail stores, but mostly on the internet, on our website, and some other areas as well. It's taught in gyms. A lot of people, do the belly dancing for just a great way. Just it's a great, great, great way to work out, and it's also a very feminine way, and it's a way to sort of embrace your femininity. That's always, boy, that's so nice in this day. You know, and in 2016, sometimes we kind of, women get so caught up in just sort of, competing with people, things, and, I say things as well, but people, and men, and all this, and then there should be this time of embracing who you are, who, we are female, we are, and there's nothing, nothing wrong with expressing your sensuality in a very nice, velvety way, So, so my sister and I said, "Yeah, this is a great way to work out." You do sweat, but you glisten more.
Right, women don't sweat.
We do, huh? but Bollywood, on the other hand, it's a very fun, upbeat, and just a lot of cardio. So it's a whole different feel. Obviously, one is from India, which is Bollywood, and the other one is from Egypt mostly, or the Middle East, or North Africa. It encompasses a lot of area, Bollywood has just grown because there are so many people that love Bollywood, and also there are just Indians everywhere, not just in India, but everywhere in the world.
Right, so, right.
So it's so much
movie, fun. Do you think the movie Slumdog Millionaire kind of helped Bollywood to grow?
I think it did because, also before that there was Pride and Prejudice, and mm-hmm. a lot of people were also just, they knew a lot about Bollywood because many people actually were into the Bollywood films. But then in the mainstream market, yes, first Pride and Prejudice, but then Slumdog Millionaire, just, you know, that was it. Everybody wanted to know what this was about. You know, wow, Indian people, that's pretty cool. These are people from India. Okay, that's, this is, you know, and it was such a good story. And then they had the little Bollywood piece at the end. Not really, really Bollywood, but kind of. It's sort of a tongue-in-cheek one.
The song became a hit, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it did. And it just, you know, it just blew, and, you know, in worldwide. So, in fact, I mean, like, so my sister and I, we do a lot of workshops, teaching Bollywood workshops. Actually, that's interesting because we're teaching more Bollywood workshops than we are belly dance, even though both of them are just, you know, very, very popular. But we've been doing a lot of Bollywood lately. I say lately, in the past few years, you know.
Uh-huh.
For example, the one that's coming up in this coming, well, a week from today, actually, Sunday, in New Orleans. So mm-hmm. at the Crescent Lotus Dance Studio. So that's that should be really a lot of fun,
mm-hmm.
you know, and getting to know people and Bollywood dancing and getting your inner star, inner Bollywood star out there.
Well, you know, I was going to ask you what the benefits are, and you've already said some benefits, especially of belly dancing, you know, the fitness, but also the sensuality. And I was thinking with Bollywood that the music of Bollywood is so upbeat, and it, whenever I listen to it, puts me into such a good mood.
Yes, it does. My goodness. And I don't know what it is about it. I mean, I grew up listening to the music and couldn't help myself even when I was like 3. I would always have to dance to it. So we would, you know, be dancing in the living room and just pretend that we were like Bollywood stars. And and my mom always played it. She just played it all the time. And so it always put me in a great, great mood. And even some of the sad songs just were so melancholy. And I think if you listen to the to what the some of the lyrics mean, it's very, very it's actually very, very poetic. And oddly enough, Arabic music is the same. So
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of that kind of feel to it. So there's some similarities between the two in terms of you know, especially like North African North African style music and North Indian music.
Mm-hmm.
It really takes you and transports you to a different place. So just the music alone would just totally different mood. So when I listen to belly dancing, especially if it's fun and upbeat and there are a lot of drums and stuff. In fact, the music that you guys played earlier, I was up dancing. I kid you not. So I was shaken, you know. I was shimmying away. And I said, sure, why not? I just, you know, why not? I'm going to get another, like a nice workout here while I'm waiting. and then listening to the Bollywood song, I was just listening to that even before that. And it's so fun. It is just, you know, makes you smile. Does it give mm-hmm. you a different, you know, different feel? Different mood for both.
Right. And so, you know, doing the dancing to it, like you said, it is really a really good workout, and it doesn't feel like you're working out because you're just having fun,
so
I would imagine.
Yeah, what a lot of my students had said with Bollywood is that they say, well, actually with both, really, they've said, I don't feel like I'm working out. because they're having so much fun doing it. Boy, we could do a whole show on just on Bollywood and a whole show on just on belly dance, but boy, compared to the two, it's just, they're so wonderfully like two different pieces of jewel. They're just, they offer such different things. For workout. No, generally, most women do more belly dancing, and most men and women do Bollywood. So that's kind of the little bit of difference. And not to say that men can't do belly dance. It's just a little bit more of a feminine, known as a feminine dance.
Right.
But yeah. They're both great workout. Pieces or workout that are both great for workouts, and but Bollywood does, it just gives you this great cardio. Oh my goodness, my students really drip with sweat. And that's always a good thing too.
Yeah,
but my belly dance students glisten.
So
that's what it is. So, glisten versus sweating. Okay.
So you said that you give workshops all over the place. How can people find out about where you're giving a workshop, or can they also contact you and invite you to give a workshop where they are?
Yes, they absolutely can. So they can go to bellytwins.com, or they can email us, bellytwins@bellytwins.com, or just even give us a call. And, you know, we'll say, sure, we can, as long as there's no conflict in terms of the dates. But, yeah, we definitely do them all the time. And I'm actually going to be sometimes I even travel to go to, certain places just to, maybe – If a group is having they want a dance coach, or they want they're doing a belly dance or a Bollywood or both of a fusion, because there are a lot of fusions happening too, that they want us to do a little like directing their pieces, maybe the dance company. I mean, we've gotten calls for a lot of different things, anything that is a dance or dance fitness related. And or India, Middle East related, people call us. So yeah, we can go anywhere, literally like down the road, 2 miles away to across the road or across the world, like to
great,
yeah, to China. Or
okay.
So
and do you have a calendar of where your workshops are on your website?
You know, I don't, and it's one of the things I should do, but because some things change, and also a couple people sort of don't want, a lot of them are private events.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
That's why I kind of mentioned that, because I have a bunch of them, bunch of inquiries or people that want specifically private, and they don't want to know, let everyone know. They just like, no, we just kind of want you to hear and ask you, so I said, okay. So some of the ones that are open to the public, I will let them know, let the people know. But lately it's been a lot of, private kind of things. And,
okay.
Yeah, so they're like, okay, I want to surprise my husband. Okay, you want me to go all the way over there? Sure, not a problem.
Okay. Okay. But people can actually buy your DVDs, right? Or download them.
Yes, absolutely. People still buy DVDs, and they can buy them on our website, so bellytwins.com. Like boy, ELLYTWINS.
Okay, and I'm going to post that later too.
Thank you. And then just click on shopping, and then there's a bunch of them that people can pick and choose, for within the United States, we offer free shipping, so that's always a nice thing. And if they have any questions, for sure they can call and just ask. Oh, what's the if they have any specific questions regarding the DVDs, and or we also do Skype
now too. Like, so if somebody wanted private lessons with Skype, a lot of people have been asking about that too. So, both Bollywood and belly dance. So, yeah, we do it all.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm so surprised on how most people want to learn the dance, but both of them, both styles of dance, a lot of people really are wanting to do it to lose weight. So I also give them, help them out with a meal plan. So and that always helps. I've had a lot of customers that really have lost a lot of weight, and some have actually gotten off some of their medication. So it's really a nice thing. Yeah, they work with their doctor. I work with the doctor as well to get those type of goals. So it's really exciting. They're getting healthy. That's really the number one. The dance itself is just a wonderful icing on top, but the getting healthy and getting stronger, that's really important. It's just really important. Especially the internet, who you were always on the computer and sitting and that kind of stuff, and we're just getting, our bodies are getting a little bit lazy, so we want to try to keep it nice and healthy. So, yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Zena. And
I hope I get
to see you in person sometime soon.
I can't wait.
Okay. Well, maybe you'll come to Texas sometime. And I'm sorry, I will be out in L.A. again, but we'd love to see you in Texas.
That sounds awesome.
Okay. All right. Well, you take care and have a great trip.
Yeah, thank you. You too.
All right. Thank you. Have a good
night. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, so we have come to the end of another show. And before we go, I want to let you know what's coming up next week right here on Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years. Next Sunday, April 10th, I will be back in Austin, Texas, and we will have another live show from Austin, and I will be joined by Megan Devine. Megan has been a clinical mental health therapist for over 15 years, and she now focuses on grief and based on her own journey through grief, and she founded Refuge in Grief in order to support emotionally intelligent grief, to provide emotionally intelligent grief support for others on this journey. And she'll be talking about grief and how to support your own grief and help other people through their grief. So very important topic next Sunday. And we'll also be joined by musician Rochelle Rubin, who will talk about her history in music and the program that she's developed for teaching children the sounds of Africa, and more. We always have more. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show, get the website links that my guests talked about, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, and all of that will be posted later tonight or early tomorrow morning, and you can hear the podcast from the show, and you can also hear the podcast in 5 minutes by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And be sure to follow me on Facebook for all of the latest information and updates. And this show was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Spiked Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere, by Sonia Dav Sabra Lady, and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guests, Steve Kane, Nina Badasha, and Laura Gelazunis. And, of course, thank you, Art. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone. We'll be right back.
guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.